that we get to live it with you, that we get to process today with you. We get to walk it with you. We get to talk it with you. And Lord, that you are thoroughly interested in all the details of our lives. We thank you for your indwelling presence in our lives. And we ask that you would guide us now as we look into your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to, before I give you the theme for this morning's message, for this month and this morning's message, just want to read a little bit of something to you, sort of following up a little bit on what Michael was saying when he got up here. You know, our Sunday school lesson this morning was about the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say something very briefly about the Holy Spirit. And this is the Sunday school lesson that I wrote. It's from our unit called Now This Is the Life. And just want to read a portion. It says, after his resurrection, Jesus told his disciples that in just a few days they were going to receive a gift promised to them by God, the Holy Spirit. Soon thereafter, God delivered the promise with a sound like the blowing of a violent wind and with what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They were the first to receive the Holy Spirit as a permanent resident living within them. After that, every believer in Christ would be blessed with this supernatural gift. Most of us have received many gifts over the years of our lives, but none can compare with this amazing gift from God who lives in every Christian. He is the one who inspires the joy in our relationship with the Lord. It is He who transforms the words of the Scripture into spiritual food that nurtures our spirits. He is the one who increases our appetite to know God. He's the one who protects us from evil. He is our comforter and encourager. He's the living God, eternally committed to attending to each one of us personally and individually. And one of the discussion questions that we had was, let's say you're on a plane and you and the passenger next to you have been enjoying a pleasant chat, feeling comfortable with you. He says, you know, I was flipping through channels last night and came across this TV preacher. He was going on and on about the presence of the Holy Ghost. That church was huge, too. Frankly, I can't believe that there are so many gullible people in the world. How would you respond to him? So that was our Sunday school this morning. And the quick answer was, I would say, I'm one of those people. But as we talked about it even further, we discovered and we came to the conclusion that it would be a great opportunity for us to talk to that person about spiritual things, since they opened the door and invited us to give them an answer. The short answer is God is real, and God is good, and God can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. And he interacts with each one of us in an individual way. That's the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We're not all lockstep doing the same thing, because God is working in each of our lives in different ways and touching us in different ways. Some of us are very cerebral, and God can go there with you. And some of us are very emotional, and God can go there with you. All of us are a mixture of both, and it depends upon what's going on in our lives. And there's nothing weird about being emotional. I mean, well, it is, but we're not the only ones that are weird. You know, think about it. When a guy scores a touchdown, when something good happens to you, your natural response is to want to say something, do something, right? When something good happens, when you taste something good, you squint your face up, you go, oh, wow. You don't care what you look like. It's good, right? When someone scores a touchdown, you see what they do. I mean, they're like, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And they're on national TV in front of millions of people. They don't care if it looks weird. It's good. So when God is good, who knows what's going to happen at any given moment? Right? So praise the Lord. We ain't crazy. So, and that's just to say. All right, our theme for this month is the gospel. And our series is going to be called The Arrival. And I have to tell you that I saw this on the banner of a church that's near our fellowship center down in Burtonsville as we were going to our couples meeting yesterday morning. And we saw this banner. It says The Arrival, celebrating the birth of Christ. And both Laverne and I said, boy, we love that title for the Christmas season. The Arrival, because that's what this is all about. That's what we're celebrating, the arrival of a very special gift. And so this morning, our message is titled The Arrival, Part 1. And our text is 1 John chapter 5, and you can turn there, 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 13. First John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. We accept man's testimony. But God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son has this testimony in his heart. Now, we celebrate today and we rejoice today in all the ways that God confirms within us the testimony that Jesus is the Christ. The reason we continue, despite the fact that we have not seen him, as the scripture says, is because the testimony has been placed within us. The testimony that Jesus is the Messiah has been placed within us. And that's what this verse is saying. It says that we have had the testimony. God has placed this testimony in our hearts that Jesus is the Christ. And he is as real to us as our hands and feet. He is as real to us as anything that God created or man invented. He is as real to us as the air that we breathe in. He is as real to us as the ground that supports us. And we sing the song, He's So Real, Real in My Soul today. The reason he's real to us is because the testimony is in our hearts. God has placed the testimony that Jesus is the Christ in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So everyone born of God has this testimony in his heart. And it says, anyone who does not believe God, we're at the verse 10 there, anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So the main idea that I want to bring out from this passage is this: the supernatural gift that arrived on earth 2,000 years ago, the supernatural gift that arrived on earth 2,000 years ago is still just as available and still just as awesome as it ever was. The supernatural gift that arrived on earth 2,000 years ago is still just as available and still just as awesome. And what a gift it is. It's not like the Black Friday gifts where it's for the first 100 and then it's done, or the first 1,000 or whatever. It doesn't matter whether it's 100 or 100 million. It's available for all to receive. And it's just as awesome as it ever was. It's available and it's awesome. For those of us who receive this gift, what we're going to be doing this month is we're going to be celebrating what we have been given. That's what December is. The gospel is a celebration. It means good news. And every Sunday, we are going to have a good time here celebrating what we have been given. And we're kicking it off this morning by looking at the arrival part one. And I have so many things to say. Lord, help me to say them. So for those of you who have received the gift this month, we're going to celebrate. For those who have not yet received it, what we're doing is presenting it for your consideration. If you're sitting here and you have not said yes to Jesus Christ, there's no pressure, no forcing. Nobody's going to come up and say, did you do it yet? But we're presenting it for your closer consideration in hopes that you will join the celebration, because that's what God wants. He wants it to be the bigger, the better. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, he wants it to be a worldwide party. So if you hear something, we ask that you would just prayerfully consider it so that you might join the celebration. So several things from our text that we want to bring out about this gift. First, the gift is from God. The gift is from God. It says in verse 11, God has given us eternal life. God did this. This is not man-made. God has given us eternal life. This wasn't thought up by some person, some monk somewhere. God has given us eternal life. You ever wonder why God even bothers to deal with us? David did. And it says in Psalm 8 that after considering the miracle and the majesties of the heavens, he pondered, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you even care for him? Who are we, God, in light of the majesty and the mystery and the marvel of creation? Who are we, little specks on this little blue ball that is a tiny dot in this galaxy, let alone the entire universe? What is man that you would even begin to think about us? And from my standpoint, when I consider the mess that we are, not only the marvels of heaven, but when, as someone was saying in Sunday school, when you look at what's happening in the news, when you look at what's happening in our world, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why do you bother? Why do you put up with this? Why do you put up with mankind? It's a mystery to me, as much of a mystery as the universe is. Why does God handle it? We can't handle it. And we're flawed, fallible. We're part of the problem. And it disgusts us. What is man? We could make a real strong case that we're not worth the trouble. What can we give him? Nothing. But God, in his mercy, planned a way to give us eternal life a long time ago. It was in his mind. God has given us eternal life. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to a couple of his disciples as they were walking down the road, and they didn't know who he was. And it says in Luke 24, 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So God had been thinking about this whole gift that we were going to be receiving during the time of Moses and even before that, because Ephesians says that it was before the world was founded that he was thinking about how to get eternal life to you personally, not just them. He was thinking about how to get eternal life to you. Someone once said, if you were the only person on earth, Jesus would have died for you. He was thinking about you personally when he came up with this plan. He engineered the plan. Doesn't make sense that he would go to the trouble. It's just that it will boggle your mind to think about it. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called grace, because it means it's nonsense to human beings. You won't get it, because you human beings, you would have long since detonated this project. You would have long since pushed delete. So would I. December 3, 1982. This is what I wrote in my journal. 5:15 p.m. I read this every year. December 3, 1982, 5:15 p.m. I thought of Christmas time as a kid as I was lying on bed before dinner and all sorts of other past experience and events, and I got really nostalgic, and I thought, now I'm older. I heard little kids outside playing, and I remember being a kid just as they are, playing in cardboard boxes, being in kindergarten, eagerly awaiting Christmas Day for the toys I'd receive, playing Little League baseball. But not anymore. I'm 26. I'm 26. And one day when I look back over this notebook, I'll see the 26 I just wrote and say, man, I was only 26 then. Life does indeed fly. And I am looking back at that. None of our kids are even 26. They're older than 26. We get to spend time together, brothers and sisters. And sometimes we're having such a good time together that we just don't want it to end. God has given us eternal life, that this is going to spill over into all of eternity, and we won't have to worry about it anymore. We won't have to worry about it ending. I had breakfast with Brother Dave here, and Dave Perrin, and he and I had a really good time, and I just enjoyed it so much, he finally just said, I got to go, Pastor. One more thing, Dave. Wait, one more thing. I went to the movies with Michael for his birthday, took him for his belated birthday present. Michael Yakey went to the movies. His cell phone kept going off. And I said, I looked at him. I mean, it went off once, and then it went off twice. And I looked at him. I didn't tell him. I was going to say, you know, man, if it goes off again, I'm going to go move over there. I don't want to be here with you. Turn the thing off. I would have choked the person next to me. But I enjoyed being with him, enjoyed talking. He's my friend. Couples group. Didn't we have a good time? I mean, between Jean's homemade scones and Jeannie's quiche, spinach quiche, and all the other things that everybody brought in. In between that, we're talking about how to solve all the marital problems of the world. And we're masters and mistresses of the universe, and we've got it all figured out, and we left with a great deal of confidence that we know what we're doing. We're on the right track. Eight. That's the number of times that my seatbelt alert will politely tell me to fasten up before it gets really irritating. Eight dings. After that, It's all out. One day, there will no longer be any seatbelts. One day, there will no longer be any marital problems to solve. One day, there won't be any potential for irritating somebody sitting at the movie. One day, this life as we know it will come to an end. One day, it will. But God has given us eternal life. The story does not end when this life ends. The story continues. Why? Because of number two. And number two is this. The gift is a person. The gift is a person. Number one, the gift is from God. Number two, the gift is in a person. I should say it is in a person. Verse 11 says, this life is in his son. It's in a person. You know, in the gospel, Jesus says he is the door. It can be helpful for us to imagine Jesus as the entranceway to a brand new world. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. In him there was life, and that life was the light of men. In Romans 6, it says that Jesus allows us to walk in newness of life. So he's both the entranceway and he's the life itself. And what a life it is. See, it's not that Jesus points us to the life. He is the life. And he lives forever. And so this newness of life that we're experiencing in Christ is an eternal lifestyle. It says that we have been given the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. What we have been given, the gift in this person, Jesus, is unspeakably wonderful. And that's why when we sing the song, he is wonderful, we don't know all the details because God has not yet revealed that to us. But our spirits say, amen. Our spirits say, what we've got is bigger than we can express. What we've got is bigger than we can explain. And if we wrote it down on a piece of paper and gave it to someone, they would go, duh, because they couldn't comprehend. We can't fully grasp it. Unspeakable riches in Christ, in this person. The gift is in the Son, in Jesus. Sister Michelle posted on her Facebook page something about God all around me. Something about God all around me. And she didn't have to explain that. I just wrote back, shimmers of his glory. We're on the same wavelength. There's something about it when we experience the presence of the Lord around us. We don't always know how to quantify it or qualify it or explain it, but we know he's there and we know we're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We know that he's full of life and filling us with life. We know that we have hope when things are hopeless. We know that there are rivers in the desert and roadways in the wilderness. We know that somehow or another the living God is with us and has invited us to participate in his life and is participating in our lives. It's called fellowship. This life is in his Son. It's all about Jesus. It's not about Jesus helping us to get stuff here. Oh, he will help us get stuff here. He will. He will help us to get through stuff here. But the life is in the Son. The life is in his presence, his spiritual body in our spiritual bodies, living his life in us, the scripture says. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This life is in the Son. So it's nonsense to people on the outside. And that's why Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the entranceway. Once you step through, it's like stepping into Oz. It's like, whoa, you mean this is real? On the outside, ordinary. On the inside, supernatural. On the outside, weird, strange. What's going on? Boring. Church. That's what it is on the outside. It's just church. On the inside, it's life. Whoa. The life is in the Son. He is the gift that keeps on giving. God has given us eternal life forever. And this life is in the Son. The best thing about heaven is going to be the Son. The best thing about heaven is going to be the unfettered, unbogged down, unencumbered experience of our Savior. Not filtered by the flesh. Or I should say, impeded by the flesh. Thank you, Jesus. Have you tasted of this divine gift? We've all had a foretaste of glory divine. It's a blessed assurance that there's more to come. And the blessed assurance is that Jesus is mine. It's not in following religious rules. Gift is relational. The gift is personal. The gift is the one who is the first and the last, the eternal, immortal, invisible God. You see, this is where I could keep on going. But you see all those names of Jesus out there? When you come into our church, when you look right at the wall, there's a poster and it says the names of Jesus. And you could just go on and on and on and on and on and on. All those names are descriptors of His majesty, of who He is, what He brings to the table. And He is so marvelous, we just can't speak it. Lord, You are the supreme blessing of every day. I've been blessed in the city and in the country. I've been blessed all over the place. But Lord, You are the supreme blessing of my life. You are. The life is in the Son. The gift is in a person. And thirdly, the gift is definite. Definite. Verse 12 says, He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. He who has the Son has life. Unequivocal, unambiguous, definite. He who has the Son has the life. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you do not have life. Yesterday morning, I was reflecting on how my life has so drastically changed since the day I came to Christ. And it has drastically changed since the day I came to Christ. One of my Facebook friends was saying to another Facebook friend, even now, 8 years later, saying to a Facebook friend, can you believe he's in ministry? So I wrote in my journal as I was thinking about this. This morning during my walk, I was also reflecting on how my life has so drastically changed since the day I came to Christ. I was literally agog at the newness of everything surrounding me and everything that was taking place within me. And I was ravenous for more. I came to know Christ and I wanted to gobble it everything up that I could get my hands on, because something had happened and my appetite had been quickened. And I was ravenous for more. And I couldn't understand, and I was fascinated with all that was taking place within me. And I was irresistibly drawn to that small community of Christians whom the Lord had used to introduce me to Himself and whom He had used to welcome me into His kingdom. And I'm so grateful for those believers who first embraced me with the love of Christ by accepting me, accommodating me, bearing with me, teaching me, encouraging me, serving me, and instructing me. They could not have known that wonder-struck 22-year-old would be even more fascinated with and even more hungry and hungrier for the Lord 38 years later. But so it came to be. And so it is. And I sent that note to a number of those believers who are still around and still serving in their churches, just to let them know that I am grateful for the influence that God placed in, that God used through your lives in my life to take me down the road to this life that I'm now living. So I would encourage you to think about the people, the person or the people who are instrumental in helping you to get to where you are right now in your spiritual journey. Whether that was the person who led you to Christ, or the person who prayed you to Christ, or the person who said you better find Christ, or whoever whoever that person was, that was the nudge that moved you down the road, or the group of people. Let them know where you are today. And let them know that you appreciate what God did through them for you. They'll be blessed by it, as were the people when I let them know. I just said, you know, hey, thank you so much for bearing with me. And the funny thing about that, whenever you say to somebody, thank you for bearing with me, they never say, what are you talking about? They never ask you to give them details. Can you be more specific? What do you mean bearing with you? I think everybody pretty much knows. But I thank them. And so should you. You know, the old saying says, you only live once. Biblically, it should be, you only live once. And it's forever. It's forever. And you're either going to live in a state of eternal life and communion with the living God, or you're going to sadly live in a state of eternal death and eternal separation from the living God. This is why Jesus came to die, to prevent that destiny from befalling any person. He came that we might have life and have it to the full. So if you are sitting there today, and you are not 100% certain that you have the Son, that you have the life that we're speaking about. And let me say 100% certain, not hoping, not wishing, not 95%, if I could just get rid of that last five. 100% certain. Because you see, when I was growing up in church, thank you, Mom and Dad, for taking me to church. I appreciate that. That started me on my journey. That oriented me to Jesus Christ. I didn't get to the place where I had life, but I was on that journey because of you. Thank you. The Lord wanted to use somebody else later down the road to say, this is where you need to go in order to get there. But boy, thank you, Jesus, that when they said Jesus, I didn't say, Jesus who? I had enough information to be oriented so that I was sensitized to that message. But I wish someone had said to me when I was 16, or when I was 15, when I was going to church, I wish someone had said to me, are you 100% certain you're going to heaven? I would have said, no. But I'm hoping. And if they had said to me, but you can be 100% certain, I would have said, tell me how. What does that mean? How do I do that? How do I get from being kind of hoping certain, but to 100% certain? Well, we have it in the text. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Have you ever come to a point in your life where you have invited the Son into your life? It's simple. If you have, He came in. He's not deaf. He heard you. He came in. If you have not, then you don't have to wonder about whether you have life or not. You do not, because you do not have the Son. And so I always, and many of you just have to bear with me as I do this again, because this is what I say. Here is eternal life. This is the Son. Eternal life is in the Son. He who has the Son has what? Because life is in the Son. He who does not have the Son, no life. I don't care how good you perform. I don't care how often you go to church. It doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how you stay away from bad stuff. It doesn't. None of that matters. Only thing that matters is, do you have the Son? You got the Son, you've got life. And you can be certain. How am I certain? Because as many as received Him, it says in John, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. And so if you have received the Son, you have life. If you have not, no life. Life is in the Son. So I'm going to ask you this morning to bow your heads as we close. And I'm going to ask you, if you have received the Son, and you know you have, to thank Him as I pray. And if you have not, I'm going to ask you to invite Him if you desire Him. And it's not the words. It's not a formula. He is a person, and all He is looking for is a yes. However that bubbles out of your heart, all He is looking for is a yes, I want the Son. Lord, we thank You this morning for the tremendous gift of life that You have given us in Jesus Christ. And we celebrate Your arrival here on this earth to accomplish the mission of paying for our sins and making it possible for us to enter into a relationship with You. And so, Father, I pray for every person here. For those of us, Lord, who have said yes to You, we give You thanks for opening our eyes and opening our hearts and sensitizing us to You. We thank You for that. It was Your doing. It was Your doing. By grace we have been saved through faith, and this not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And Lord, for those who are here this morning who have not yet made that decision, for whatever reason, didn't know about it, scared of it, turned off by it, offended by some person, whatever the issue may be, I ask that You would bless them with a new spirit of openness to hear Your voice and to respond to You and not the static, not the noise that may be surrounding their hearts. There's a lot of noise, Lord. The evil one operates in noise. I ask that You would just give them quietness of spirit and clarity of thinking, and an open spirit to receive what You desire so desperately to give. And if you're in that place, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you just agree with this prayer in your heart, you can be confident that the Lord hears you. Lord Jesus, I thank You for coming to earth for me. And I open up my heart. I open up my life to You and receive from You forgiveness for my sins and the eternal life that You promised. Thank You for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. The gift is from God. The gift is in a person. The gift is definite and just as awesome and available as it ever has been. I'm done.